All right. Hey, sales enablement community. This is super exciting. We're kicking off a brand new podcast specifically focused on the enablement leadership community. So consider this your formal welcome to the Enablement Optimization Podcast. The show is less about tactics and more about the strategic decisions and programs behind high impact enablement and how leaders actually drive results at scale. I'm Leanne Leone.
And I'm Chris Walker.
And we spend our days doing exactly what you do, building enablement programs, fighting for resources, trying to prove to the rest of the business that what we do isn't a nice to have, but it's the engine.
And this show exists because something is broken in our industry, not in what we do, but in how our profession is understood.
That's right, Chris. Here's what we know to be true, and we figure you know it too. There's dozens of sales podcasts out there, really good ones. Shows that break down cold calling, negotiation, closing, pipeline management. Sellers and sales leaders are well served.
But here's what none of those shows talk about. The people who make sellers capable of doing any of it.
That's us.
And when enablement does get its own podcast, let's be honest, most of them are polite. They're careful. They trade in best practices and tips and trends. And that's great. But they're not saying what we actually need to hear.
Right. And that's that enablement is not training. It's not onboarding. It's not admin. And it's absolutely not something that just anyone can do.
And that misconception, Leanne, enablement is tactical, but it's a support function. That is what you bolt on after the real strategy has been decided. It's not just annoying. It's career limiting. It suppresses budget. It flattens out organizational structures. And it drives talented people out of this brilliant profession.
And it costs companies real revenue because this function that should be driving seller effectiveness and performance is stuck in the admin world, justifying its own existence.
And nobody is fighting that fight with a microphone.
Until now. So here's what we're building.
This is the show for the people that are doing the work. Not consultants theorizing about it, not vendors selling into it, the practitioners. The directors building those enablement functions from scratch. The enablement managers at the coalface making programs land across thousands of sellers.
It's for the people who know from lived experience that this discipline is strategic and those who are fighting every day to prove it.
And every episode, we're going to be having the conversations that enablement professionals actually need. What's working? What's spectacularly failing? What are the frameworks that hold up under pressure and the ones that collapse the moment they hit the real sales floor?
You'll learn how to build your business case, how to talk to your executives, how to stop being an order taker and start being seen as the strategist that you know you can be.
And because this is live, backed by the Sales Enablement Collective, we have 18,000 fantastic enablement professionals listening. You're part of the conversation.
We want your questions, your challenges, your wins. This isn't just a broadcast. It's a conversation that tens of thousands of us are already having. We're just putting a microphone to it. So here's what we'll promise you from this show.
You're going to leave every episode with something that you can use, whether that be a framework, a way to articulate value, a question to raise in your next leadership meeting. We're going to give you ammunition because that is what it's really all about.
Yeah, exactly. The language, the evidence, the peer validation to go back to your organization and make the case that enablement belongs at the strategy table, not as a guest, as a permanent seat.
But here's what we won't do. We're not going to be polite about it. We're not going to serve you another episode of tips and best practices where everyone agrees with each other and nobody can say the uncomfortable thing.
If something's broken, we'll say it's broken. If a common practice is failing, we're going to name it. If the industry needs to hear something it doesn't want to hear, that's exactly what we're here to do. So if you've ever had to justify your own existence in a meeting within your company, welcome home.
If you've ever been the only person in the room arguing that enablement is more than just training, you're not crazy. You're not alone.
This is the Enablement Optimization Podcast, where enablement is a discipline, and we're going to prove it.
Let's get into it. So come on, Leanne, let's get into this. Let's start with a simple question then. Tell me about you. Tell me about why you'd wanted to do this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am currently the director of global go-to-market enablement for Megaport, a global networking connectivity provider. And so in my remit is everything from sales to customer success, all of our customer facing teams globally. And I've been here for a couple of years. I reside in Louisiana. So you'll learn that Chris and I are from very different areas of the world. And that should bring an interesting approach to this podcast. So yeah, so I'm currently sitting in a director of enablement seat and have been for the past couple of years.
The good news is, Leanne, with us being in such different geographies, people will be able to recognize us by voices. If they're listening to this podcast, what they're walking about.
So yeah, what about you, Chris? Why should people listen to us?
Exactly that. So I'm Chris. I'm based in the UK and I am a senior manager in sales leadership development at ServiceNow. And I've been here for about 4 years now. And the thing that I think has been really interesting and I think will come out in the conversations as we go through this podcast series, Leanne, is our differing backgrounds and also the different size of organizations that we work within. ServiceNow being an organization with close to 30,000 employees and also having my previous experience at FedEx, a company with 500,000 employees. So I've had that sort of working in that real corporate functions, which has been really interesting. And currently I work within an HR function, which is another conversation I'm sure we'll touch on at some point.
Yes. Where does enablement report? Golly, what a conversation. Yeah. And then I come from more of the startup scrappy, you know, Megaport is growing super fast. Currently about 400 to 500 employees. So we're on that trajectory, but nowhere near as big or as corporate as you. So agree that we will have lots of different approaches and stories to share with our listeners.
Well, let's get into it a bit then, Leanne Cohen. So you started on the phones doing inside sales. You smashed your quota year after year. And as you mentioned, have built multiple sales teams from scratch before you moved into enablement. So what was really the biggest turning point for you? When did you realize enablement was where you could make the biggest impact in your career?
Well, the first thing is enablement didn't really exist as a function when I was coming up in my sales career. I knew I wanted to be a leader. I knew I wanted to influence others. And so when I was building out teams, I definitely took a approach of training and coaching and clarity and strategy and things like that. And so, you know, after I had built SDR, BDR, partner teams, and seller teams as well, it was, you know, am I going in this VP of sales CRO type trajectory? Or, you know, I started to really see this opportunity to lean into a more cross-functional way of working. And it was just right around the time that enablement was coming up as a profession. And I thought that that would be a good way to not silo in any one particular area of the business, but influence across all of the different sales teams, but also in and out of sales. So with marketing, product, and things like that. And so once I realized that this was a place that I could still use those strategic foundational skills, but not segregate myself into one area of the business, I knew that this is what I wanted to do.
I love that. And it's just, it's sort of symbolic of everything that we do day to day, working cross-functionally, working with all the different variety of teams and really breaking down as many of those silos as possible. So that's awesome.
Yeah. And I really just couldn't imagine work where like every day looked the same. So this is amazing, amazing career path for me. But Chris, your path's a little bit different. You went from managing sales teams at FedEx, like you said, huge, large corporate company, leading sales trainings across Europe, and now you're working in a team delivering specific leadership development programs at ServiceNow. You also shared with me that you had done something pretty unusual along the way. You got 2,000 adults who couldn't swim to learn in a single year. What does that tell us about your approach to enablement?
I know, it's a bit of a strange one and probably not your traditional career path necessarily into enablement. But when I was thinking about answering this, the thing that links for me more than anything is that actually those 2,000 adults that needed to learn to swim, it wasn't necessarily about training or learning the skills and techniques in order to do that. It was about the mindset that they had around fear. They were scared. They were worried to do something. And if you translate that into the work that we do now, it's about ensuring more than anything that people are really have the sort of the psychological beliefs and values and to drive in the right direction. I sometimes think that enablement is a lot less about giving them the technical guidance, but it's about giving them the mindset and the confidence within the context that we're working in. And I think that's probably been one of the biggest lessons I've taken throughout my career is when enablement just gets reduced to just training, we're not in the business of delivering content. We're in the business of changing behavior. And that's a really different thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Our listeners are going to hear that a lot from us is, yes, training is a part of it, but behavior change and performance impact is what we believe our profession is here to do. So even though we landed here in a few different ways, I think we're both very passionate about the approach, and that's what we're going to be talking about week after week on the podcast.
Sales has evolved, but teams are still juggling disconnected tools and coaching that can't keep up with today's fast-paced, data-driven world. Meet Genius, an AI-powered coaching platform by Janet Performance Group that transforms how your sales team learns, grows, and sells. Genius integrates with your existing tech stack, from CRMs to call platforms, bridging the gap between training and execution. Genius delivers real-time personalized coaching, right where your team works. No switching apps, no guesswork. It continuously tracks performance and spots skill gaps as they happen, not weeks later. And because Genius automates the heavy lifting, sales leaders can focus on strategy, while every rep gets consistent, impactful support. Built from the ground up with AI at its core, Genius learns your business, aligns with your training, and evolves with your team. Ready to elevate your sales team? Make every moment a coaching moment with Genius.
So in this short first podcast, Leanne, there is a couple of things that I think we really need to confront head on and just perhaps give our view and opinion on some of this stuff. And the first one is that age-old question that enablement is just training. Mm-hmm. I talked a little bit about it in my previous answer with how it's about changing behaviors and giving people the belief systems to be able to drive their business forward as they go out there and sell. Mm-hmm. But you've had so much success, Leanne, with all the work that you've done in the past. Why do you think this perception still persists?
Yeah, so the perception exists because training is necessary. Training will always be necessary. Even before the function enablement existed, you had sales trainers. You don't typically see that anymore because it's all coupled under this enablement function. So the training has to happen. People have to know how to do what is expected of them. The perception persists because a lot of people stop there. A lot of leaders stop there. And so the training is a vehicle to the behavior change that ultimately impacts performance in some way. And so when we focus on, you know, training completion or learner satisfaction, we do ourselves a injustice. We need to be speaking about revenue outcomes and performance improvement and how many more reps hit quota and things like that. And yes, training happens, but it's more of the how instead of the why. And so a lot of it is just the way that this function is positioned, discussed, but I think it's up to practitioners like us to change that perception. We can't just expect everyone else to see us differently if we're not talking about ourselves differently.
And I absolutely agree wholeheartedly, but I would say it's really difficult to do some of that stuff. And yeah. I was talking to a colleague this morning and he was telling me about the program he's running and he had all of these different things that he wanted to do as ideas of how to prove value.
but wasn't able to find any of the data points within our data to be able to back that up and actually show the tangible revenue impact or just behavior change that drives the right impact. So it's really difficult to try and do that. And that's one of the things that I really want to hear from our guests as we go through this podcast series is how they've managed to identify early within their programming or the work in which they're doing, how do they identify those key data points earlier on? Who are they partnering with to find that information? And what do they do if it doesn't exist? Like, how are they trying to get to that point of still showing directional impact, even if you're not able to show true impact at the moment?
Yeah. I even find that sometimes when I'm digging for data, folks are a little bit like, why is enablement asking for this data? So I have to be really clear with the why and the need for the data and how it's going to help me deliver more effective programs. We can't just stop and say, well, the data doesn't exist, so we're going to just approach things tactically. And so, speaking of opinions, Chris, because we all have them, and that's kind of what we're here to discuss and get challenged and challenge others. Let's just jump into the whole, like, do you have to have been in sales to be successful in enablement? And the reason I bring that up is that focus on revenue impact and behavioral change. I think when traditional sellers make the transition to enablement, they bring that with them. They bring that need to constantly prove the revenue impact. And I think those that don't come from sales, they have a tendency to get stuck in the admin world because they haven't really seen the other side of it. And I think that as leaders of enablement team members, we can change that because we can teach them, even if they haven't been a seller, how to think like a seller, how to talk to an executive. And so while I wouldn't die on the hill that you have to have come from sales, I think that the more senior people in our profession owe it to our younger team members to develop them to think in that way, to continue to elevate the profession.
And to expose them to those opportunities where they actually need to go out and sell those programs to key stakeholders. Because a lot of those skills that you build up in customer conversations translate when you're coming into the business environment and you're trying to sell your program in as you go forward. I think it depends on the role of enablement. And I think that enablement has such a broad range of roles that sort of fall into that bucket. And I don't want to go down the sales trainer route. But what I do think is that when you are selling that story, your ability to translate and give that compelling use case in the story that you're trying to solve for, I think really helps. And I do think that there is absolutely space to learn some of those skills and to do that. But I do think there is that opportunity to really be, to pick up on that, on a sales background in whatever guise that looks like. I do think that is still really important.
Absolutely. Yeah. So many of the skills are translatable. You're constantly telling stories. You're constantly doing discovery with your stakeholders and you're constantly positioning back your value. And so, teaching those skills is really valuable to the next generation of enablers.
And I think it sort of links because I think there's often a perception when you talk across a business that everyone says, oh, I do enablement all the time. I'm out there enabling. And I think that is something that we hear so often. Sales managers think they do it. Product marketers think that they do it. How do we continue to differentiate or to address those individuals in the moment to be able to give our elevator pitch of why what they're doing isn't actually enablement?
Earlier in my career, and especially like when I first kind of started at Megaport, a lot of people would throw out the word enablement within their function. And it would trigger me in the beginning because I'm like, no, I do enablement. You don't. But truthfully, they are. And so they're not wrong that, you know, channel, marketing, sales managers, we need them to support our enablement initiatives. But oftentimes what's happening is they're teaching. They've got something that they need to share with their audience. But they're not always approaching it from a programmatic standpoint in a way that has results in mind. That's the biggest thing I've noticed is when I ask those within my org and outside that aren't living in enablement, hey, what's the goal of the content that you're trying to deliver to the audience? They often don't know. Or they'll say, I want to teach them something. And then I'll ask them, the second question is, what is the behavior that you're trying to impact by this content? And then what is the measurement that's going to tell you if they did that? So what I've learned is let's let everybody be enablers, but we can teach and train others how to think more like us and just get them 1% more effective in their enablement day to day. Like, we're not going to hold these huge budgets that allow us to have tons and tons of people that no one else needs to do any sort of enablement. We are better when we can infuse our skill set throughout the organization and help everyone do what we do a little bit better.
Leanne, I absolutely love that. If I could just summarize what you just said there, the questions that you tend to ask when people say that they are doing enablement is challenging them on what's the behavior that they're looking to change, what's the goal of the session that they're looking to create, and how are they going to create moments of measurement to actually show success of those sessions? And I think what you've just really demonstrated to me there is how we differentiate and how we up-level ourselves in that conversation. Because automatically, we're not going in and just validating them that they're doing enablement. We're actually stretching them and encouraging them to think differently about what the enablement function is all about. And I think that is ultimately what we're trying to do with this podcast series, is to give our listeners and the people that join us on these calls the ammunition, as we mentioned before, to really continue to up-level us in conversations so that we have that regular seat in the boardroom when the strategy is being created, not just when it's required to be executed. I love it.
Yeah, so I think those three questions is a good example of the things that we'll be bringing to our listeners in this podcast, tactical things that make them more strategic, because work has to get done in our profession, but we own the narrative and we own how it's seen internally. We're just looking to continue to level up those around us and those that do what we do. And, this podcast is a great way to share that. So we're really excited to kick this off. And Chris, I'm excited that we're doing this together from opposite ends of the world. And listeners, we're excited for you to be here too. And, before we wrap, we want to hear from you. We want to be covering the topics that are relevant to you. We want to hear your opinion. So based on what we talked about today and how we think enablement is positioned and seen within orgs, do you agree? Do you think we've got it wrong? What did we miss? Drop your thoughts in the comments. And if there's something you want us to dig into more, tell us that too. It really shapes where we take future episodes.
I love that. We are forever open to feedback, Leanne. And if this conversation sparks something for you, please share it with your network. Post it on to someone on LinkedIn who you think needs to hear this conversation. One share goes a long way to getting all of this great content in front of the right people. And if you want to be part of this show yourself, if you want to come and join us as a guest on this podcast, we would love to hear from you. Details on how to join us are in the comments section below, because we're always looking for practitioners with something real to say. And the good news is, Leanne, we can tell our kids that we are now YouTube sensations. And if you'd rather watch this conversation on YouTube, you can do, because the podcast is available there as well. They'd be so proud of us.
My 8-year-old is going to be so jealous of me.
They've got to tell their mates at school, 100%. A big thank you, Leanne, for joining us. And I cannot wait for the next episode of the Enablement Optimization Podcast. Cheers.